You know, the great clip. And there's a lot unsaid in that last statement right there. That's for another time. And before we go any further, let's go ahead and pray. God, you know, I am thankful that there's a place that we can come and we can hear about transcendent things. We hear about things that are bigger than just the season of life that we're in right now. And God, I'm asking you to help us to see how so many times we take the season that we're in for granted. And so I pray that you'd help us to see the place where we are right now and how to appreciate it and be thankful for it. And I pray these things in your name and in your character. Amen. Well, if you're a guest with us today or here every week, I want you to take out your weekly, and inside your weekly is a connection card. And if you're a regular attender or partner, go ahead and just start filling this out. All we need is your name and your any information that's changed. If you're a guest, we are just glad that you've joined us today. We, in case you haven't noticed, we have a lot of fun at Cross Point. We believe church should be fun, and if you walk out of here without a lot of laughing, then we didn't do our job, amongst other things, but that's one of the things we really focus on. And if you're a guest, we'd love as much information as you're comfortable passing on to us. And there's a question at the bottom that asks how you heard about Cross Point. We are always interested in hearing about how you came across us here. And so you can continue filling those out. There should be a pen near you on the seats. Well, we're going to take a look at Ecclesiastes 3 to begin today. And here's what it says. It says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Now, this is where we started last week, and we're in this series called Modern Family, and we're taking a look at these different seasons of our life, and many of them, the family unit runs through, and the family deals with complexities today that we didn't deal with even a generation ago. A generation ago, they dealt with different complexities, but one of these kind of through seasons or through lines is this idea of friendship, and last week, we took a look at the role of friend, and we found that sometimes the role of a friend can actually be closer than those of the family or the unit that we were born into. Even blood or DNA, sometimes the friend relationship is that through line that lasts through all of life. And today, I want us to take a look at this role of being single, this role of being not married, this role of being available, of being hot, whatever descriptor you want to put on it. You know, I want us to look at what it means to live in this season where you're not in a lifelong commitment of marriage. And this verse right here that we just read in Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us that there's something to be enjoyed in every season of life. And we need to learn to enjoy and value every season, even the state of having no other human commitments that trump other human commitments in our lives. That's what it means to be in the season of singleness. Now, I recently heard this cheesy quote, and I know a lot of my quotes are cheesy because you're thinking, well, that's every week, Kurt, but I heard this, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to use this or not, but I decided to use it anyway. So here it is. Somebody said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is the future, today is a gift. That's why we call it the present, right? How cheesy is that? I mean, that's by an unknown cheesy person. How many of you have heard it before? Yeah, you've been hanging around the same cheesy people I have. So, you know, it's a kind of a cheesy quote. I'm like, no, that's a crock. I mean, there's nothing true about that. You know, it's just a funky way of using words. And then I thought, no, something happened a couple weeks ago. I thought, you know, that is very true. In fact, a couple weeks ago when we were on vacation, we had a pool at the house that we were staying in, and it was right outside our back patio. And one of the rules we have four kids, elementary and below, one of the rules was, you know, you can't go out on the back patio without one of your parents out there. And the kids did pretty well. We made it through the whole week without drowning anybody. And it was like the next to last day we were there, and it was my job to be on duty. I'm out there spraying kids down with sunscreen, and my six-year-old comes out, and I spray him down. He says, hey, Dad, can I jump in the pool? And he runs, and he gets in, and my three-year-old, I spray her and down with sunscreen. She says, Dad, can I jump in the pool? Yeah, go jump in the pool. Now, mind you, Maggie, our three-year-old's been swimming with a swim floaty all week. You know, the full body kind of has the floats built into it, so she floats even though she doesn't know how to swim. So she just goes and jumps in. I'm spraying down my third child, and all of a sudden, Matt's yelling, Dad, Maggie's sinking. She's underwater. She's going down. She can't swim, please. And so I drop everything. I drop my drink and the sunscreen. I jump in fully clothed, grab Maggie. She's like struggling to keep her nose above water. Wasn't this heroic as I'm making it seem? But I pulled her out, and in that moment, I had this thought. I thought to myself, man, I will be so glad when my kids are out of the preschool phase, where I don't have to worry about drowning them and watching them so intently. And I thought, what am I saying? I immediately thought, no, I'm going to wish that away. I love the preschool phase. I love what it means is I need to be a better parent, need to be more attentive to my kids, but I love the preschool stage. And what I learned, what I found is, you know, the present is a gift. I mean, when in that moment, I thought, man, this moment, that short season of having preschool children in my home, that is a gift. What I began to realize is we rob ourselves of the role we're in right now when we begin to say, well, I wish I could just get to this phase, or if I could get to that right there, I could get to this season. And you know, if you're not married, if you're in the season of singleness, you know, it's a gift. But being married is a gift too. And if you're married, you're like, yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of gifts that come with being married. And just like we saw in that video clip, there's kind of this formula that sitcoms, that the media, that songs, Michael Bublé, you know, is just loves just around the corner. Just haven't met her yet. I mean, it's like someday you're just going to cross paths in the right day, in the right moment. You need to be there, and it's all going to work out. There's kind of this Hollywood formula for how the world's supposed to work. And so many times we find that we begin to live that way. And, you know, Hollywood is just mass art. And when we think about art is really fascinating, because the question that often emerges is do people influence art, or does art influence people and culture? And I don't know what you think about that, but it's actually a little bit of both. I mean, there's some influence from the people side, but art has a great deal of influence. The mass entertainment industry, the artistic industry, has a great deal of influence on what it means for us to live out these different roles. In fact, take, you know, a couple of things I've been thinking about. Think of Hollywood, think of sitcoms. Have you ever noticed people can eat and drink as much as they want and they never get a beer gut or that cottage cheese kind of stuff on the back of their legs? I mean, they never, as much as you eat and drink, it never happens. Everybody's body beautiful, looks attractive, looks like they can eat anything they want, and they always look good. That's not reality, that's Hollywood. Have you ever noticed that, you know, in sitcoms or in movies, that, you know, whenever there's like a scene in somebody's home, doesn't matter what kind of socioeconomic status you're in, what your job is, you always have a big house with enough room for all of your friends to gather, and they have great furniture to live on and sit on. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, in most sitcoms, I don't even know when they work. They never show them going to work. They're always just hanging out. And yet they have these great houses with lots of room. And I thought, you know, that's not reality. That's Hollywood. In fact, in middle class society, even in upper middle class society, I mean, your home, you probably struggle at times to get all your friends in your home. I mean, it's not reality; it's Hollywood. When I recently heard, you know, if you've ever noticed this, the next time you watch a show that's in the nighttime, every time there's a night scene, it is apparently a rainstorm has just passed through. All right, notice that. I mean, notice the next time there's a night scene, the streets are wet, the sidewalks are wet, the lights on the street posts are glistening off the wet pavement. You know, man and woman walk hand in hand down the streets. This beautiful artistic expression. I mean, it's never a drought. They're never out in the rain. It always apparently just rained before they filmed. And that's not reality, is it? I mean, in life it rains. Sometimes in life there's a drought, and yet in Hollywood it always just rained, and now we're on the other side of that. It's not reality. It's Hollywood. And so, you know, what we begin to see is that in these different things, whether in television and movies and in the media and songs, you know, what we see artistically presented to us isn't always the way it is. It's not always reality. And yet these images greatly influence how we live these roles out, specifically when it comes to singles, specifically when it comes to how we ought to date, how we ought to interact with the opposite sex. And so there's a book came out a few years ago by the name of Chip Ingram, Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships. He has a couple of really interesting things to say in here. In fact, he talks about the Hollywood formula for how to fall in love and get married. And they're kind of fascinating. And he said, this is kind of how it works. This is the kind of the status quo. Find the right person. All right, so idea, your soulmate's out there somewhere. You just need to cross paths with them, figure out how to do it, go online into a book club. You might find somebody. You might be 12, they might be 25, but you'll cross paths, and someday that's going to happen because you're going to find the right person because they're out there. And then the next thing is then once you do that, you fall in love, right? You just fall in love. You can't help it. It just happens. It's like this ooze comes over you, and you just feel all bubbly and gushy inside, and you fall in love, and it just works that way. And then number three is that you fix all of your hopes and dreams on that one person. They are going to complete you, and they're going to, you know, fulfill every hope and dream that you have in your life and make them all come true. It's like Disney World 24/7, all right? And then step four is if you failed, we'll just go back and repeat steps 1 through 3 and just keep doing it until you fall in love. Right? I mean, that's the Hollywood verse. That's what the movies, the media shows us. And in many ways, this is kind of the default mode. This is what we say, well, I'm going through this process and it's not working. And many of us are frustrated and we're not happy. I mean, some of us are married and we're frustrated and not happy because we just went through this routine. We say, man, my spouse isn't meeting every hope and dream that I have. Well, Chip Ingram, he kind of says, here's God's formula. He said, here's kind of how God lays it out. It's not just in his book, but he says, this is what the Bible kind of gives us a picture on how to pursue this next season of life, this season of marriage, and what it looks to engage in. So he gives again, four things. The first is to fix your hopes and dreams on God. You know, not on another person, not on a child, not on the family that you want to have. He says, fix your hopes and dreams on God. We see this all throughout the scriptures, people fixing their hopes and dreams on their Heavenly Father. And then in the next, he says, walk in love. And he says, you know, don't focus on falling in love. The world of the media is focused on how do we fall in love. He says, no, walk in love. Live a life, you know, when you're fixing your hopes and dreams on God, then live a life that kind of, you know, it shows that, man, you're somebody whose heart is passionately following God. You're emulating love. You're emulating the Father. You're living in a life of purity as you interact with others, as you interact in dating relationships, even when you're interacting in your marriage relationship. And then next he says, we focus on what it means to become the right person. You know, so many times we see in the media and television and all of life, we're like, well, if I just meet the right person, God says, no. You know, I want you to work on becoming the right person. You know, and you know, when you do this, when you fix all of your hopes and dreams on God, and you know, you're in a unique mode. Because when you're doing this, you are in growth mode. And when you're saying, God, I'm going to fix my focus on you. I'm going to let you be everything to me. I'm not going to look to other people to fulfill things in me inappropriately. You're in this growth mode, this very unique place where your life is continuing to grow and change and form into the person God created you to be. And let me tell you, you are hot. There's something attractive about you, whether you're single, whether you're in a marriage. I mean, if you're in a marriage, your spouse, man, they see that and they're like, there's something really attractive about somebody who's in growth mode. And then step number four, if you fail, I'll just repeat steps 1 through 3. And because, you know, it's not a foolproof thing. I mean, even when we go through this, it's two people and a lot of complexities and a lot of brokenness and a lot of pain in life. And sometimes it doesn't go the way we planned. And so as we look at this, you know, I want us to take a look quickly at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we see Paul kind of giving this, he says, here's the goal. Here's what your goal is if you're married. Here's what your goal of your life should be if you're in the season of singleness. And it might be different than what you would expect it to be. Here's what Paul says in verse 32. Paul says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And wives are saying, yes, please, please me. That's your role, husbands, is to please me. You have a role beyond just that, but it's to please me. And it says his interests, the man's interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husbands. Husbands are saying, yes, please, that's your role. As a wife, your role is to please, to serve, to mutually serve one another. It's an act of mutually serving and pleasing one another. Paul says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live a life in the right way of undivided devotion to the Lord. And so he's saying your main goal, if you're single, is to fix your hopes and dreams on God. Not just when you're single, but when your marriage relationship, fix your hopes and dreams on God. That's what it's saying right here. And certainly, you know, it's a unique blessing to be married, but, you know, there's unique blessings to being single. In fact, a couple weeks ago, Dr. Greg Wines was here from Florida, and he taught us on what it means to the complexities of the marriage relationship, what it means to love the one you're with. You know, regardless, you say, man, I made a wrong choice, but he says, once you're in that marriage, what does it mean for you to say, I'm going to love the one I'm with, I'm going to fully pour myself into this person? And there's a unique blessing in that. But as he also said, there are seasons where in his early life, he said, you know, man, this marriage thing, there's times where I wish I was free again. There's blessings to being free. I can do what I want. I can play basketball with the guys when I want. There's a freedom that comes when I'm not in this relationship. In fact, as I think about this, you know, if you're in a single position today, if you're in a single season, you have certain freedoms that I don't have right now. I mean, you have certain things in your life where you're not meeting the needs of other people. You have another person you have to think about. There's not somebody else throwing a wrench into your financial plans, you know, because you're spending your money that you're making. You know, when you make a job decision, you say, hey, I just want to go with a girlfriend or one of my guys and travel across the country. You don't have to run that through somebody. There's a freedom that comes in that season. The only thing you have to be concerned with is saying, what does it mean for me to fix my eyes and my heart on God, to pursue the heart of God? And there's a freedom that comes with it. It's a blessing. And what does it mean for us to say there's a blessing that every role that we play, here's kind of the main thing I want us to see, there are unique blessings that other roles don't have. Whether you're married, single, have kids at home, no kids at home, and you're empty at nest years, there's a unique role in the season you're in right now. Now, I actually feel really bad right now. I've talked way more than my pay grade. I've talked way above what I'm knowledgeable to talk to you about today because I got married at 23. It's been 14 years since I've been single. And so I actually wasn't a very good single person. As I've talked to some of the single people here at Crossmont, I've learned, man, they are growing in ways I don't know that I grew when I was single. And so I've asked some of my friends to come help me out this morning. And so they're going to come up on here. We actually have real life single people in our midst, believe it or not. And so they're going to come up and join me. So let's welcome them. And they're going to do a little dance as they come up here, yeah? And you join me here on stage. And they're going to share their wisdom with us today because, we're going to get this party started. And we're going to learn from them. And it's not just what it means to be in the single season of life. Welcome, guys, by the way. But, it's what are they learning? How is God forming in them that all of us can learn? I mean, I've learned a lot. In fact, this is one of the biggest growing weeks for me out of this whole series. And I'm married. So these guys have a lot to offer. And so let's start down here on the end and tell us your name and maybe a brief summary of where you're at in life right now.
I'm Jen Dickerson, and I was actually engaged several years ago and called that off, and now, several years later, kind of wrestling through what it looks like to live as a single woman and do the whole career thing and have that be where my life's at.
My name is Angelo Brown. I'm single and hanging out.
All right. Next. And my name is Leslie Douglas. I have a few more days of being single, and then I will be married in 2 weeks and 6 days.
Yeah, not even 3 weeks, 2 weeks and
right.
6 days. Yeah,
it's going to be 3 weeks,
yesterday. Yes, different people, different seasons of life, and some really interesting things have come out of these conversations, really, really cool things. And so, Angela, let's start with you. I know, when you were, say, 16, did you expect at this season in your life that you'd be single?
Well, at 16, I don't think I was thinking about whether I was getting married, so that's probably the last thing on my mind at 16. But probably 19, 20, I was young. I was free. It wasn't even a thought of mine. I mean, love comes around. If you miss this one, it comes around 5 minutes later. So,
And are you still feeling that way today? I mean, love comes around, or was that back when you were like 20?
That's not the case. Love just doesn't come around every 5 minutes. I learned that the hard way.
And it's something that's fascinating is this whole thing. You see on the screen, single panel. I mean, there's something about the word single that's kind of, I don't know, it kind of categorizes. I don't know why we always come with categories and why it's such a big deal. I mean, when I think about my life, I'm 6 foot tall. I don't go around saying, man, I wish I was 5'11". I mean, I have brown eyes. I don't say, man, I wish I was blue-eyed. And, I'm happy with where I am. Why, when it comes to this category, since we put one on it, of single, why is there such an unsettledness to being there? I mean, why, what's the anxiety, where's the anxiety created in?
I think a big part of it is that, when you meet someone for the first time, one of the first two questions that you get are, what do you do, and are you married? And if you're, unemployed, then that's a tough question because you're frustrated that you don't have a job and you're mm-hmm. trying to find one. And if you're single and you want to be married and you're not, then it's like this reminder over and over again that you're not. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just kind of society's just trend to put us in a category and make a definition for where we're at. And so we, if we're not married, it's, well, when are you going to get married? And if you are married, it's, when are you having kids? And mm-hmm. if you have kids, it's, when are you having the next one? And I think it's just this always pushing towards, well, what's on the horizon, what's to come? And there's a lot of unknowns for us in that.
It's kind of that Hollywood
for society
formula, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's here's this prescription you have, you follow it, and everything works out. Exactly, right? It's exactly. Yeah. What about the rest of you? Why singleness? Why is that such a, what's the stigma with that?
I think there's a level of just the grass is greener on the other side. You don't see the ups and downs of married life. You just see the good parts, when, your friends are going home to their spouses or playing with their kids, and you're like, wow, that looks kind of nice, too. Mm-hmm. I'd like that. But it's then the constant reminder that there's perks being on this side of it as well.
Mm-hmm. And what's that look like for you? What are some of the perks? I mean, what have you been doing over the last number of years? You're getting ready to end all that season right now.
That's right. There's so much freedom, and I've really enjoyed that from the single aspect of just even financially, like, okay, I can spend my money on this or this. My best friend moved out to California. I was able to, kind of on a whim, just be like, do you need another driver? Yeah, that'd be great. So, okay, let's take off a work and I'll drive out there and fly back. And so there has been just those great opportunities to just love and serve others. So I've really enjoyed that. And just as far as I can eat cereal for dinner if I want to. Now that I'm engaged to Nate, he's like, cereal? Oh, yeah, I love cereal, don't you? So anyway,
that would not fly with Chef Angelo. Yeah. Definitely wouldn't. It's a good thing you got
a
man.
That's why he's catering me, the wedding. So that'll be great. But so there's just been great I guess, perks of living my own way and doing my own thing, too.
Yeah. So you're 3 weeks, two weeks and 6 days out. I've got it on my calendar just like you have on yours. And, you know, what have you been learning? I mean, what is your kind of beginning to reflect back, Leslie? What you're kind of the end of this season now, and what's God been forming in you? I mean, where do you see you're different today than you would have been, you know, right out of school or 5 years ago?
Well, I definitely wasn't the quintessential little girl that was dreaming of her wedding and planning all the details. Definitely would have helped if I had been thinking those things in this whole process recently, but I definitely think that I've gone through the process of, I've never really been one to think there's only one person for me, and I can only, you know, be with one person and be happy and find love with one person, but that can kind of drive you crazy as a single person. Mm-hmm. So really realizing that the fact that you spoke of becoming the right person really resonated with me, of just enjoying that time and really kind of evolving into that person that God would have you to be. So that's kind of been my journey. And I'll miss those days.
Yeah, they're about ready to come to a close.
I know. So sad.
Yeah, you know, Jen, you talk a little bit with us about that first point, what it means to fix your hopes and dreams on God. I mean, I know for your journey over the last few years especially, there's been some people that have poured into you, and a lot of growth that's taken place in you as you've said, you know, this is my goal right now.
Yeah, I really have been blessed with a lot of amazing people who have, just amazing women who have poured some much-needed truth into my life. And I think that for me, the biggest struggle has been hearing people say, oh, well, if you know, being content with your singleness, and I'm not sure that that'll ever be something that happens for me. I've really wrestled with God on kind of the grief that I experience on what if that never happens for me. And I've thankfully in the past year really come to this place where I feel like God's been showing me that he has a lot of work he wants to do in me to kind of become the right person, and that if I do fix my hopes and dreams on him, that will allow him to make me into the woman that he wants me to be. And so right now my focus has been, being a better friend and a better sister and a better daughter. And I'm going to be an aunt this winter for the first time, and being there for my family and my friends, and just trying to allow God to work and move in my life.
And Jen, in the midst of your singleness, I mean, you have a lot of learning. You know, what happens if you never get married? I mean, you just talked about that there a moment. How do you feel about that possibility?
There's a lot of sadness and grief for me in that. I think God will continue to, I guess I can choose to be miserable, or I can choose to believe that God will continue to pour into my life, and that he will continue to work in me and to give me opportunities to pour into other people's lives as well.
Andrew, what about you? I mean, Leslie's coming to a close. I mean, she's going to be married in 3 weeks. But have you thought through that? What does it feel like to think of, man, what if I don't get married?
That would suck.
we said the panel, we want you to be authentic. And I know, Andrew, that's authentically where he's at, you know, because we're all about being that.
I've had my independence, and I've lived that out. I've been able to travel a lot. I've traveled a lot abroad and just done a lot of things. And I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, the idea, I think I did value the idea of being free, fancy free, and to be able to travel and do whatever years ago. But now it's a different thing for me. I mean, right now I desire a wife and kids and things like that. And so, you know, the idea of freedom is not something that I'm trying to grasp a hold of and keep for dear life now. So I'm in a different phase now.
Yeah. Yeah, different than you were 5 years ago, even 8 years ago.
Different than 5 years, yeah.
Well, you know, let's talk about the obvious. You know, I've kind of hand-selected this group that's here today because, you know, you all have focused your hopes and dreams on God. I mean, it's one of the unique things that you've done in this season of singleness that all of us can learn from. I mean, there's things going on in your lives. I mean, the more I've heard about what God's been doing to you, that I can honestly say probably many of us sitting here today, those things aren't happening because, you know, we're looking for other people to do that. We're looking for other people to fulfill those maybe. There's a character about you, and that's just something that I want to lift up because there's something unique going on even in this season of your lives. One of the unique questions we kind of talked about was, What do you wish someone would have told you a long time ago? I mean, I heard recently somebody say, I wish somebody would have told me that marriage is not a goal. You know, I mean, being married is not a goal. I mean, if it's a goal, then it's like I'm either passing or failing. And every moment of life, I mean, I get married, and then if I'm single again, I'm failing again because it's the goal. I mean, and then there's a lot of issues of that being a destination versus a journey and a process, and I'm continuing to grow. I mean, what are some of those things that you wish people would have shared with you way back, you know, because I'm guessing there's some people that could really learn from that wisdom today.
I really wish that.
I don't know if I can do this.
Okay.
There you go.
Attempt two. Okay. I really wish that someone would have told me that I'm not defined by my marital status, and I really have a hard time with, kind of being defined as a single or even with married life or, you know, for people who are there, but that my worth as a woman and as a child of God isn't dependent on whether or not I get married. And I was raised by a single mom, and my parents got divorced when I was young, so that wasn't an inappropriate focus that she put on us. But still, I think just society, it was just kind of that formula of what you did. And so I think having, and I receive that now, I think more encouragement to kind of that walk in love instead of fall in love, and hope that that's, I guess that's a goal for me and mm-hmm. how I'm living my life.
Mm-hmm. The other two, what do you wish somebody would have told you way back? I mean,
I think for me, just the fact that you are complete right now, single, married, whatever, you're a complete person in Christ. So I think there was always a level of understanding with that, but a greater acceptance and comfortability, I guess, through the single process and the years of being single. Because kind of what Jen was saying, when you do go home for those family Christmases and Thanksgiving, the first question that you always heard was, so, who are you dating? And it was always like, nobody.
That's kind of a cue for all of us, right? At family gatherings. Yeah. Do not ask that question.
It's a bad question. The first one. Yeah. So, what are you doing? Who are you dating? And it was always nobody. And so, even as the years progressed, I was kind of like, are you just giving up on me? Or are you finally accepting the fact that, like, I'm okay just being me? Because the question just dwindled off. And then I didn't hear it anymore. And
then you had to share the news, right? Guess what, everybody? I'm dating somebody.
I'm dating.
Yeah.
So, but just kind of funny in that respect. But just being comfortable with the fact that you are complete, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to be with someone to be complete. So even that, it's that cheesy movie line that drove me nuts. You complete me. I just had a huge problem with, right. And I'm like, puke. You know, I don't want to hear that. So I'm okay, just being me.
Yeah. Angela, what's something you wish somebody would have told you a long time ago? You say, man, I'd be a different place right now if I would have known that.
Well, I guess the fact that love is just around the corner, as kind of like what the clip just said.
Yeah, the clip, yeah.
That, you know, if a situation passes you by, in my own life, I mean, I think I could have been married several years ago, but, you know, I don't know what maybe my reasoning was at the time, but somehow it wasn't that time, and so you just know that it's going to come around again. Love is going to come around again. I wish someone had told me that the choices you make, you don't always get a redo. And although God brings someone your way later, that is what he's blessed you with, and you're fortunate to have that, but you can't redo the past, you know. Right. I think I spent a lot of time probably this last, 4 or 5 years, really kind of trying to figure out where I went wrong and how I could have maneuvered the past. But you can't maneuver the past. The past is the past. You have to move forward. Right. And, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to work it out and trying to see, well, you know, what if I had made this different choice or this different path or whatever? But, you know, I'm learning to be content with where I am. Now, sure, I would like to be married and have kids, but at the same time, I'm learning to let go. I've learned that you can't control every aspect of your life, and you have to at some point just kind of throw up your hands and say, okay, I can only do so much, and the rest is in God's hands.
Right. You know, and that's a very attractive thing. I mean, in fact, that's really a healthy thing. I've heard that from all three of you. Some came really strong in our conversations that, you know, God, it's attractive when God is doing something for you that no one else can do. I mean, when you're letting God be that person in you, and you're not looking to someone for someone else to do that. In fact, let me talk to those of us that are married for just a moment. You know, for many of us, this is why your marriage is bad right now. I mean, if you're sitting there saying, man, I'm struggling. I mean, I'm in marriage, but the season is not good right now. You know, maybe you're expecting your spouse to fulfill something that they were never designed to fulfill. Maybe you're looking for them to complete you. Maybe you're looking for them to fulfill every hope and dream that you have. That's not the role of your spouse. That's the role of God. I mean, you guys have learned this. That's one of the really cool things I learned through this. I mean, you have each learned that God is the main provider of my happiness, my contentment, my satisfaction, who I am as a person. And that's huge. I mean, you guys just way outschooled me when I was single. And yet, you know, that's at the core of this. And take a look at Jeremiah chapter 29. These panels are going to stay with me for just a second here as we wrap up. Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I mean, he's saying, look, you know, even in your life right now, if things are not good, if the season you're in right now isn't where you want it to be, trying to be content with where I am, but I'm not happy with it, you know, maybe it's not the ideal or the ultimate. You know, this is saying that God is not holding out on you. I mean, God is not holding out. He's not saying, well, I see you, but I'm holding out on you. God's ultimate plan for you is to prosper you and to give you a hope. And that's really cool as I hear that through each of you. You know, because, you know, it might not happen this year. I mean, we may have things where you're like, man, God, I'm going to try to be content right now, but I'm still going to hope for things. Whenever that next season comes, it might not happen this year. It may not happen in the next decade. But the reality is it may not happen in this life, but there is such a thing as eternity. I mean, God doesn't assure us when that's going to happen, but he says, I am not holding out on you. He says, your interests are my interests. Your interests are in the front of my heart. And you know, one of the things we can do in this, we can learn from this, say whatever season we're in, married, single, kids, no kids, you know, emptiness, whoever we're in our family life, you know, that how can we stop and be thankful and focus our hopes and dreams on the Father and say, God, wherever I am, I'm going to say you are enough for me. Heavenly Father, you are enough. Take out that connection card. We talked about this at the front end. You filled it out on the front end. Take it out. And on the back, there are some next steps. And, you know, we're really big on next steps here at Crosspoint of helping you just take steps that help us grow in our life, our spiritual life. And this is a huge spiritual moment. You know, as we're wrapping this series up, you know, these apply to where we are today, but they really apply to just where we are in life. And so I want to talk you through a few and ask you to pick up a pen and say, you know, can you just say, God, what is a step I could take this week that helps me to take that next step to that next new place? Maybe for some of us, it's that first one, just trusting God, that God has my best interest in mind in this current season that I'm in. And you might want to list it in there in the fill in the blank. And whatever season you're in, you're struggling with, just being content with where you are, can I trust that God has my best interest? And maybe that's a huge step for you to begin to do that today. Maybe you need to have an open, honest conversation with God about what it means to fix your hopes and dreams on him. And that could be in your single season. That could be you could be in a marriage and not happy, and because you're so trying to be what everybody else wants you to be. What does it mean for me to just fix my hopes and dreams on God? Another step could be walking in love through living a life of purity. What does it mean for me to emulate the love of the Father? What does it mean for me to live a life that as I'm focusing my hopes and dreams on God, I'm also saying, God, I'm gonna walk with you. I'm gonna live a life of love toward others. I mean, there's something hot about that. There's something attractive about somebody who's just walking in love. Maybe the last one, I'll invite God to help me become the right person. Maybe you've been so focused on being what everybody else is wanting you to be, and something really cool in each of these people, they're becoming the people God's designed them to be. Really cool. Maybe your step is to say, God, I want to invite you to begin to help me become the person you created me to be. And for some of us, that we haven't taken that first step was just saying, God, I'm going to receive your grace. Many of us have already taken that step, and we're continuing to walk that out. But for some of us, maybe we've never received the grace of the Father that Christ paid for on the cross. It's free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's just saying, God, it's waiting there for me. I'm going to receive this and allow this to begin to heal and restore some of the things that have gone on in my life, some of the wounds, and maybe part of becoming the right person is allowing God to begin to restore me. I know there's been a lot of healing up on this platform, just knowing what I know about this crew and just how God has worked. So maybe that's your step. So pick up your pen, and as the band begins to sing this song, The Stand For Us, it's about saying, God, you're enough for me. It's a declaration of saying, God, I'm going to say, God, you can be everything I need. Everything else is just the icing on the cake. And as soon as you listen to it, as you mark, say, God, what's my next step today? And then we're going to invite you to sing in a few moments.